I'm like making a sad face for this imaginary person you're making up who just got cast out of their hunter-gatherer tribe.
He stole some mammoth meat, so he's out.
I'm like, poor guy. He didn't understand.
Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grishka.
And today we're talking about trust. Trust in others, trust in ourselves, how we gain it, how we lose it. Dean, you ready?
I trust you. Let's go.
Well, hello there.
Hi, Bean.
Oh, you're back on a screen again.
I know. I was going to say, full disclosure, we were together last week and it felt like harmony.
It felt like heaven.
Heaven.
The bat mitzvah occurred. Bean has nothing to stress about now. She's light as a feather. She's free.
And that's my delight, was the whole mitzvah.
Oh my God.
And having everybody come in and celebrate and love and fun and joy. It was just filled.
Let's do a mitzvah breakdown. This is both of our delights. So this is going to be the first. Someone at the bat mitzvah actually said to me, shout out Joe, if you're listening, are you going to talk about this for 20 minutes in the beginning of your next episode? I was like, probably. He's like, wow, that's so fun for your listeners.
Wow. That means Joe's listening. Exactly. That's what that tells us. If he knows that we do our bullshit banter for 20 minutes, he cares.
Well, I have to say it was truly so wondrous to meet people and have so many people be like, oh my God, your podcast or this episode or that one. Like, I felt like, oh my God, I think most of our listeners are from Bucks County, PA.
And honestly, everybody was like, I feel like I'm meeting a celebrity when they met you. Everybody. I'm like, well, she sort of is a big deal, but no big deal. That's fine.
I'm kind of a big deal.
It's fine that Maury Fontanez is at my daughter's bat mitzvah.
It was so fun. It was my first bat mitzvah ever. Let's start there.
Wild. Wow. Mazels.
I think I was the only Persian.
Don't call out my white family, okay?
No, I was going to say Muslim person, but I'm not Muslim, but raised Muslim, I guess. In the mix, it was my first bat mitzvah. It was so, okay, let me just tell you my observation.
Oh, I'm very excited. You have not given me observations until this very moment, so I am very looking forward to it.
I was saving them. Observation number one, I thought, like I remember being Evie's age, around 12, 13, and there being this Muslim like school of Islam in Maryland where kids would go on Sundays and study the Quran. And I remember being like, God, that sounds like hell. Like, I don't want to go sit, you know, it's Sunday school basically.
Yep.
And so I expected Evie's attitude about singing the Torah. Is that right? Singing the Torah?
Yes. Reading the Torah.
Reading it. Like, I just expected her to be so like, ugh, whatever.
Oh,
I just
did.
Need to get through this. I know, but fine. That was not apparent the night before. I showed up the night before. She was so excited, engaged. Like, she really knew what she was doing. And it didn't feel like she was doing it because someone was forcing her to do it. It felt like she really was doing it from her heart. And then she got up there that next day. Holy shit, that kid. I mean, her grace, her confidence, the way that she just carried herself. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. And my observation, again, for it being my first one, is like, oh, what a beautiful way to teach ritual and reverence. I really loved that. Like, I felt like the whole ceremony was about reverence for, you know, something greater than you and also your community and the way that you are meant to give back and the way that you're meant to be a vessel for greater and bigger things in the world. And I really felt like Evie wasn't just like puppeting it, but like was really feeling it. And I thought, what a cool thing for a child to experience.
That was such a good reframe, because me as a non-religious Jew, I struggle sometimes getting in line with all of these moments, you know, that feel very religious. But that's how I feel about a bat mitzvah as well.
Yeah, it was so beautiful.
And I just never articulated it. Like,
so then
that.
We leave the synagogue and we drive, I don't know, it felt like for an hour, but I think it was 20 minutes.
It's 20 minutes.
We packed ourselves in the van and we drive to this venue and we walk in and I felt like I was at a wedding reception. Like, Bean, holy shit.
It was amazing.
Did the most in the best way. in the best way.
It was really fun.
There was a stage. There was a announcer guy who's clearly done 15 bat mitzvahs every weekend because he knew exactly all the games to play with the kids and the way to get them to dance. He was break dancing on the ground.
Yeah.
He had two dancers with him that were his hype crew.
Three. Write that down. Three, I said.
Sorry. They were walking around hyping us up. I was like, I don't know how to feel about this, but okay, now I'm hyped because you're making me dance.
Yeah.
The music was great. Yeah, the food was incredible. I mean, I just don't even – I mean, there was the open bar. It was like a full-out wedding.
Rager.
Yeah,
that's what they are.
And
they
raged.
Like full-on weddings.
Let's be honest. Did you rage?
I rage. Oh, my gosh. Did my Spanx get a little loving from all my raging, I tell you. I barely even was able to talk to some people because I couldn't stop dancing, and I also couldn't stop crying.
Well, that makes sense, though.
It was all joy. Every time I saw somebody I loved that like flew in or came in, I've so many people, including my bestest Bean, came from all over.
Yeah.
People like just flew in and drove in, and I invited everyone with their kids, and it was just like this freaking love fest.
It was amazing. It was your college roommates were all there with their families.
So
like, I'm sure that if I were you, every time you look at the dance floor, you're really overwhelmed by all the love that showed up.
It wasn't just the dance floor. I was so overcome. Like, even in the synagogue before, looking out and watching people file in, like people I haven't seen in I don't even know how long, came just to celebrate my kid.
Yeah.
Which I was telling a bunch of people hits really different than when they come to celebrate you at your wedding. Like, you're like, oh, this is so nice, thank you. But when they come to celebrate your offspring, who you're already like, wow, I can't believe you're 13 and you're knocking it out of the park like this. And everybody else is here to love you also.
Yeah, it's so
sweet.
It
was really special.
Yeah. She had the time of her life. Evie was up there just dancing and like dancing in front of 35, 13-year-old friends in a way that like
50.
I didn't even know 50 kids when I was 13. Anyway, you probably did. We've already talked about that. But just she was like had total command of the stage.
She did.
It was so funny. Anyway, there was a photo booth. We won't talk about that. That's highly controversial.
Sorry. I wonder how boring this conversation is for other people.
Who cares?
I'm like recounting the day. I'm like, who cares?
Anyway,
everything you say, I'm like, yeah, all great observations.
Anyway, I got to meet all the Bucks County pals. A Bean. I got to visualize what she does when I'm not around, who she hangs out with. Everyone was really nice. It was wonderful. It was a good
Everyone was really nice.
Experience.
I also realized because multiple people said to me, all of your friends were so lovely, multiple people in my family. And I was like, oh, right. I only hang out with people who are really lovely. I noticed.
Who says that? You just said that out loud.
But I think it's a conscious decision that I make in my life to not spend time with people who are not lovely.
Oh, you're not friends with assholes.
You know what I mean? Right. I'm not friends with assholes. Yeah. I really like all of the people around me are really kind and loving and wonderful. And that's why I think that room felt so joyous because everybody in there was like just lovely and really care about me and my kids and, you know, and my family. It was just so amazing.
It was amazing.
Get over it.
So that's our delight. I don't think we have more to say about our week other than that. It was awesome. Now
it was
on with the show. Hey guys, before
now, do I trust you?
Before we get on with the show, we have an ask of each of you listeners. One, we so appreciate that you listen and that you're listening every week. And we want to ask each of you who are listening today to show your love to us by sharing this episode with at least one person. Just today, this is
Baby
the
steps.
Ask. One person. If each of you can share with one person, that will help support the show. And of course, always just leave us a review wherever you're listening if you have a second. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, Bean. So we're going to talk about trust today.
All right. This is very important to me, actually.
It is important.
Trust is like one of my number one things in life, in all of my relationships, in all of my experiences.
Why?
That's it. I don't know. Do you know why? I don't know. It's just always been of tremendous value to me. Because how can you be around, share your space with somebody if you don't even know what they're really up to?
Do you think there are people who don't value trust as their number one thing?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
How does that work?
I just don't think it's of utmost importance to all people. I don't think they really – some people just don't really give a shit if you're lying or being honest or – They're just like there for whatever you're bringing.
Because it's transactional, maybe. Why we are doing this episode, as we always like to do up top. So
yeah,
Bean and I were talking about, you know, the keys to this work around trusting your inner wisdom. Bean is reading my book right now.
Oh my God. I was going to use that as my other delight. Ah. I'm reading it and I'm overwhelmed with pride and gratitude.
And so
and everybody will read it. Everybody.
Yeah, not yet.
Soon.
Soon.
Get ready. Prepare yourself.
But anyway,
prepare
she's reading bookshelves. The final draft. And so we started talking about this idea of inner wisdom and trusting inner wisdom and why we don't trust that inner wisdom. And I was talking about how we don't trust ourselves. And then, you know, with that being the inner ring, then how our experiences with other people and trusting other people can be affected by this idea of how much we trust ourselves, therefore how much we trust other people, or vice versa. The experiences we've had in life with other people where we have been conditioned to not trust others because of negative experiences, which then makes us not trust ourselves. So we're going to talk about trust today, the concept of trust, you know, how we build it, where it came from, how we lose it, and how we need to ultimately really focus in on trusting ourselves more than any other voice there is. So let's start with trust over time. Bean, does that sound good? You know, I have to do a little something.
You know,
something.
I trust you. I know your history. I know your history obsession. Go for it. Hit me with it.
First of all, the definition of trust is that it is a firm belief in the reliability, truth, or ability of someone or something. A firm belief in someone or something's reliability, truth.
Reliability. Reliability is a good, I wouldn't even refer to that trust as reliability, but I guess that's correct. And reliability is very important to me as well.
Right. It's a calculated risk we take and we justify it based on the information that we're able to gather about people, right? So I don't know for sure. So I'm going to take this calculated risk that I can trust Bean based on 20 years of watching her actions and behaviors and words and so on and so forth. But did we always have this relationship with trust? It's really interesting when you look into this, our relationship with trust has changed dramatically from our early ancestors to today. And in fact, do you think that we were more trusting when we were in ancient civilizations or less trusting?
Yes, more trusting.
Why?
Ding, ding, my answer. Because there was less white noise, as you like to refer to it as. There was less out there. I mean, we could probably only hear ourselves and believe in those around us. And why would there be reason for people to be dishonest in simpler times?
Very good guess.
Thank you.
It has to do actually more with the way that the communities that we existed in formed. So in early, early civilizations, people formed small social groups. Hunting and gathering societies were smaller groups. And they thrived in those environments collectively. There was hunters, there were gatherers, and they all came back and it was a small community. So because those communities were so small and existed in very specific locations, then it's very easy to sense and know whether you can trust someone because you always have eyes on them. You always know what people are doing, where they are. And also your reputation becomes really critical to your survival because the tribe, the small group is working collectively towards survival. So if you are a thief or if you have hurt someone, you are more easily tossed out of that society. That society will keep you out. And you are then on your own to survive. So because we were...
I'm like making a sad face for this imaginary person you're making up who just got cast out of their hunter-gatherer tribe.
Yeah, he stole some mammoth meat and he's out.
He didn't understand.
So he's out. And so that, therefore, people want to act more reputably and we are able to just have inherent trust because, again, we have eyes on people at all times. Now, as societies then increased in size... And we started to see a spread of societies across larger land masses, across larger geographies. Then it was really impossible to know everyone in town, obviously, and impossible to have that kind of intrinsic eyes on everyone trust. And so that's when you started to see a third party needing to be established, who was the entity who kind of managed who's trustworthy and who's not trustworthy. Can you guess what a establishment might be that would help decide what is trustworthy or not trustworthy in a society?
One, I would like to say I really am enjoying your quizzes today. I always am up for a good game of trivia. And my, are we talking any society or old school society? I mean, immediately I'm jumping to government.
Very good.
That doesn't.
So
thank you.
So banks are an example. Unions, churches, and then governments. So a third party who is basically saying to all of society, yes, you can trust this person. No, you can't trust this person. Yes, you can give this person your money. Yes, you can give this person your belief, or no, you shouldn't. So we basically created these proxies for trust as our society got larger.
At what point in time is this happening? Because first we're all like, I trust you, you trust me.
As soon as we go from like hunting and gathering to agricultural society, and then we go into larger and larger industries and start spreading, you know. So this goes on for a very, very long time, thousands of years, until actually very, very recently. So we have these proxies for trust that we trust that tell us who we should trust until the digital age. When?
And we all really just blindly followed it.
Correct.
I will say.
Yeah.
Right? It's pretty wild. All me included. We all just are like, yep, you know.
Well, and especially when something has been practiced in a society for so long, it just becomes innate, which is why social media is so incredibly disruptive to our culture. And I don't mean that in a bad way, obviously disruptive in good ways too. But one of the things that the digital age and social media has done is allow people access to each other. And allow people to gain influence, just your everyday person, gain influence through the number of followers, the way that they are being perceived. And therefore, they become someone you trust and they become a proxy for trust. But it's no longer these larger systems like banks and governments and higher education institutions.
But so that just made me think, is that even better, though? Just because it's not a large institution. Does it make it better that we're still, why are we not just listening to ourselves? Why are we consistently going after an influencer or the church or school?
It's a very good question. That is exactly the core question at the center of my work. Why don't we trust ourselves? And how can we trust ourselves? Yeah, so I agree. Right. Is it better? I don't think it's about better. I think that it's about just the trajectory of how trust has kind of become centralized and now is fractured. And now what? Like, what do we do with that? So this is interesting to me because I worked at an agency for a very long time. And the agency that I worked at was called Edelman, still called Edelman.
Oh, and they did
this.
I can't believe we just did that.
They did. Well, I got to give them credit because it's really brilliant. They did this report called the Edelman Trust Barometer that they've been doing for 24 years. And I helped it while I was there sometimes work on certain aspects of it. And what it was is that they would go out to 28 countries and ask just average everyday citizens, consumers, questions about trust. Who do you trust? And they have plotted how trust has changed over the last 24 years. This year, the barometer came out in 2024, 28 countries, 32,000 respondents. And one of the things that I remember from the trust barometer when I was there in the 2013, 2014, was this idea that all of a sudden trust had gone from, I trust this business leader, I trust this government leader, to I trust a person who looks like me. So for example, I'm going to trust the employees at Walmart to make a TikTok about why to come to Walmart more than I'm going to trust the CEO of Walmart telling me that Walmart is a good brand.
Because it's more relatable.
Right.
I get that.
And that's one of the ways that social media has disrupted this idea of centralized trust, is that now because we are able to see more people like us in the day-to-day, in our feed, as we scroll, that's who we start to trust.
I feel like it's kind of comical that a PR agency, which entire purpose is to spin certain aspects of things, is doing a trust barometer. But
well,
that's besides the point.
Actually, it's brilliant because a PR firm's job is to gain trust of consumers for the brand. And understanding where people are losing trust really helped us develop new offerings, new strategies. Like, we'd build whole new services. Yeah. Based on where trust was getting generated from. You know, we'd invest millions of dollars into content studios to create content rather than write a really good speech for the president of an organization.
They created a tool that they then utilized.
Yep. And I, now that I'm, you know, I'm well out of, I haven't been in that agency for 7 years, but I still look at the trust barometer because it's fascinating information. And in fact, when you look at it, you can look at it. It's the Edelman Trust Barometer. We'll link it in the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you look, they have this timeline now of the 24 years they've done it. And they show you in 2005, trust shifts from authorities to peers, which is right around that kind of digital explosion. And then it continues to be that, you know, people are trusting a person like me. You know, people are trusting government less. They're starting to trust business more. Why? Because business has figured out how to leverage these platforms to connect with people in a way that government hasn't. And so that's shifted it.
And government now is attempting to shut TikTok down because these everyday Joes, schmoes are promoting things and people are following and listening and disregarding what the government is saying.
Yes, that's actually a really good point. Okay, this is the last thing I'll say from the trust barometer and we'll move on.
No, I'm very interested in it.
Well, so this tool, this year, so every year the trust barometer has a theme. This year the theme is around innovation and trust in innovation. And the thing that blew me away of these 28,000 respondents, they ask people this question: I trust each to tell me the truth about new innovations and technology. Scientists and someone like me tied for trust. Meaning that we trust someone who's made a TikTok about how to, whatever, strain your vegetables better as much as we trust. I don't know. I feel like I watched
that. What example was that?
You know those TikToks? You know where they're like, did you know you could do this? And they give you all these hacks. You don't watch those?
Oh,
I'll send them to you.
I'm not really on the TikTok-y.
Anyway, that person who's found hacks for how to do household chores is on par in our society right now on a trust level with scientists who have PhDs, which is just...
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
I don't feel like... I have to be honest, in this day and age, I don't even know who I trust anymore.
Well, that goes...
Is that really sad?
Well, actually, I said that was going to be the last one, but this is actually the last one. So they asked this question, who do you believe is purposely trying to mislead people by saying things they know are false or gross exaggerations? 63% government, 61% business leaders, 64% journalists and reporters.
What? I don't understand.
You can pick more than one.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wow.
Journalists and reporters, 64%. Government leaders, second, 63%. And business leaders. So we don't trust anyone in authority, quote unquote, anymore.
And all of life, that was the authority.
Right.
I mean, even us growing up, that's all you listen to.
So that is the power of social media. And to your really good point about, you know, government wanting to ban TikTok, government understands the power of social media and how it is really diluting their ability to get trust from citizens. So anyway, it's fascinating. Again, we'll link to it.
Wouldn't it be awesome if the government had their own TikTok and then like all these silly old white men would have to do like TikTok dances to talk about the bills they're trying to pass?
That would be like a really terrible version of Hamilton. Our producer Anais just broke in to let us know that this does happen on TikTok.
I thought it was a genius idea. I'm like an innovator over here. Someone should trust me.
You know what? You and I are going to be looking up after this. Who would you want to see doing a TikTok dance?
Nobody. That's why I don't even do it.
You don't want to see anyone out there doing... I want to see Mitch McConnell out there doing a TikTok dance with his staff
behind him.
Dead hands.
That would be awesome.
Anyway.
No, I really don't.
So there's my overview of trust. So Bean, you said in the beginning of the episode that trust is your number one thing that you look for in a relationship. What causes you to feel that you can trust someone?
For me personally?
Yeah. No, for your grandmother. Tell me.
Oh, well, I'll ask her later when we chat.
By the way, Bubby is 93 years old, and she was
my grandmother.
Spitfire, feisty, dancing queen.
The best.
The best. Okay. And she, by the way, have to say, walked over to her. I haven't seen her in how long? Like, I don't know, 15 years, 13.
My wedding.
13. Yeah. No, your baby shower. 14 years. And I walk over and hi, Bubby. And we hug. And then she's like, there's a gentleman sitting next to her. And she goes, I want to introduce you to my boyfriend.
She never calls him her boyfriend either. She always says, She always says, I'm going out with my friend. I'm like, bub, it's been years. You could totally call him your boyfriend at this point.
Sid, her boyfriend, Sid. And I looked over at Sid and I said, Bubby, how does Sid even keep up with you? And she giggles and goes, he doesn't.
He doesn't. Nobody can.
Okay. Anyway. No, for you. Sorry. For you.
Okay. What for causes me, you to trust I will be people? Honest. I do not enter. I do enter relationships and engagements with the benefit of the doubt, but I do never, ever enter with trust because you have to build trust with me. And like we were talking about earlier, a lot of it for me comes down to reliability. Mm. Do you say what you mean? Do you act on what you're saying? And I kind of gauge it over time. And I can have fun and be close with people without that, but you won't like really come into my inner circle until truthfully you prove to me that you're trustworthy. That's like, that might be my barometer.
And that means for you saying what you, doing what you say repeatedly over time. Doing what you say.
Showing up, really being reliable. I mean, to me, reliability, I used to always say about you for so long, even though there's so many other aspects of our friendship, that if I ever called you and said, I need you right now, you would drop everything and get there immediately.
Right.
Because you're reliable in that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a value to me, that I know that I can count on you in the same way that I show up for other people.
Well, and it's making me think when you say that, that I actually think I give people a lot of trust immediately.
Oh, you do? I don't. I think it's so vital to me. That's why.
Next week, we're going to talk about the concept of disappointment. And it's clicking for me that maybe part of my relationship to disappointment is how much trust I give people. Right off the bat, it's almost like I really believe in you. I see your higher self before you see it. And I believe in you. And then you show me, oh, nope, you shouldn't believe in me. And then I have to like remove trust, which is such a painful, arduous process. I'd rather dole it out to you in little increments than give it all to you and have it to take it back.
Come to my side.
I will. Teach
and
us.
It's like a... It's really like a currency for me. Like if I'm going to give it to you, like then you know you're getting my love.
Yes.
Like if I'm going to allow you my trust, then you know that we're about to vibe.
Yeah.
We're about to get down.
Oh,
okay.
This took a turn. I think trust is also for me truly always giving the benefit of the doubt. Like if I trust you, I genuinely always assume that your intentions were good.
Oh, that's so weird. That's very far from what I feel. I think that's why maybe when you are done with relationships, this has been like kind of your thing for a long time. Like if when you're done with someone, you in particular, you're done.
Right.
And I like mine like slowly dissolves if I'm done with you, but you are like
done.
Once you're out, you're out. And I think maybe that's because you gave them so much and you were like, I already gave you so much and you fucked with me. So fuck you.
Yeah.
And me, I'm like, I was only giving you little crumbs for a while.
Yes.
And then I'd say most of those people don't let me down because I never give it fully until you're really there.
Yes.
Until I'm like, okay, you showed up. Now we can get down on it.
Light bulb as you're dancing. I'm having a light bulb moment. You're totally right. That is why I always say I'm like a light switch. Like I'm on until I'm off. And then that's it, man.
And you're done.
Yeah, that's
don't cross her. I'm warning you. Don't.
If I give you the trust that I gave you, if I give it back, then I don't want it back anymore. There's no trying to give it back to me. Well, I mean, I think there's lots of reasons that we lose trust in people. Let's talk about that for a minute. So we talked about what makes you trust someone, and we learned that you and I are very different.
Yeah, we sure are.
It's amazing that our friendship took off so quickly, actually, since we're so opposite in this way. But anyway, what causes you to lose trust in people?
Same exact thing that causes me to gain trust in people.
When they're not reliable.
Correct. And people don't, like, it doesn't really matter to me early on because I'm not offering it out anyway. Like, I keep things early on, usually with people, pretty superficial. Even with you, like, I liked you a lot, but I was like, let's just go hang out. I wasn't like, I'm going to tell you my darkest secrets or anything of that nature. Mm. I mean, we fell pretty hard, but that's different. So again, not being reliable, not reciprocating, not showing up in the way. I guess all things that are almost kind of unrelated is how I build my trust. Maybe the wrong trust is the wrong word.
You know what the big one is for me? Gossip. Like if I find out that you were talking negatively about me behind my back, something is like broken in me around trusting you forever.
maybe people don't gossip about me much.
I mean, what could they say that's negative, Bean? Truly.
If I find out people are gossiping, like I never gave you anything anyway, so go ahead and gossip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see you.
Except that I think I gave you so much that I get heartbroken over it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Wow. I really think we actually just discovered something fundamentally different about us. Why I'm always like, I don't give a shit.
Who cares?
And you're like, I do.
Yes.
That's because like, it's not relevant to me until I let you in. But if I let you in and then you fuck with me, I'll be heartbroken.
Yeah. A lot of our conversations are me being like so annoyed or pissed or stressed or sad about something and Bean being like, Bean, who
let
cares?
That shit go.
Like, who cares about this person? And I'm like, what?
Right.
I just met them 2 months ago. They're everything to me.
And I'm like, what about me?
Okay. Other things that erode trust. I mean, listen, if you guys are listening to this episode, I'd love for you to just, I think that like, you know, that with me, it's awareness is key to your self-actualization. So like, what causes you to lose trust in other people? And also, how do you behave in these ways? Because I think that, you know, we always have an aversion to the thing within us that we are most ashamed of or working on too. So is there some reflection around the things that you causes you to lose trust in people and that you feel like you are apt to do? I don't know. I don't know the answer. The other things that I think cause a loss in trust is poor judgment. Like, I think that's what we're seeing in our relationship to leaders and government right now is like, we're like, what in the fuck are you doing? I don't trust you to make good decisions.
But why was that? Why did that not exist 30 years ago? Why were we like, I trust you to make good
decisions?
No, I think
it existed. That's how you always had 4 years this president, 8 years that. You know, like things turn over, I think, when we feel that there are leaders who we've given our trust to and they then make decisions that reflects poor judgment. Does that resonate with you or anyone that you ever feel like you've like put your faith in? Like, I'm going to follow your teachings or your guidance. And then it's like, what? You just did that?
Maybe that's why I don't put all of my faith in any one place because of that reason.
Yeah.
Like I'm even with friendships, like each person brings a different thing to the table for me. Like all of my friendships, everyone has something different to offer.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking for everything in one person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like everybody brings something different. And I feel the same way with how I learn and how I decide, how I make my decisions.
Yeah.
Like I'll pick a little here. And I think that is problematic if you put a lot of weight into anyone's
but
one
sometimes
decision,
we have to.
Except yours. I do it with you. To completely honestly. Everything you say, I'm like, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Maury said it. Maury said we're doing it.
Yep. You're like one of the only people I do that with though.
We were laughing on this trip because Corey, Melissa's husband, is also a very good friend of mine. But when I come into the picture, whatever I say, Bean is like, that's what we're doing. And I was like, I'm like your older sister and you're like the little sister. And I'm like, this is what we're doing. And you're like, she said we're doing this. This is it. And Corey would just have to be like, okay, I guess that's what's happening.
But the secret is Corey also kind of feels that way about you.
We had the best time, the three of us. We literally one night, the three of us just sat on your bed and talked for like an hour and a half.
Oh yeah, we just laid there. And we were all tired, but we didn't want it to end.
I know.
It was like one of those nights.
I know. Yeah. I also feel like another trigger point for me in losing trust is hot and cold. Like inconsistency with people.
Yes, inconsistency, yes.
That's really hard for me.
Agreed.
Because I feel like I don't know what to believe is reality.
And if they're both realities, how am I supposed to differentiate ever? I agree. I pick a lane. I'm very into like, pick a lane, man.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to be the same human all the time, but like in general, pick a lane.
Here's what I've learned about that though. We've said this a million times on this show. It's never, ever, ever about you. So I've had to always just, when I notice someone like gets cold or, you know, whatever, they're different. It's like, whatever, you and I were talking about someone yesterday and we were talking about them kind of disappearing for a moment. And you said, oh, my intuition is that they're going through something pretty massive. And it really is always that. It's always like something is happening with them, whether they're feeling depressed that week or something's happening in their life. Like that might be why they're retracting. But it does cause me to feel like the ground beneath my feet is a little wobbly. And I'm not sure if I can trust you moving forward in the same way.
I have to say that in my year of verbal diarrhea, which has been like, I'd say the past year, I'd say turning 40 was like, you know what? Time to say
just
all
say
the things.
Yeah.
Just say it. Whenever I do feel that way now with like anybody who matters to me that I care about, if they're upset or not, I just am always like, did I do something to upset you?
Yeah.
I do it with you all the time too.
Oh my God. That's
when I feel
over the top. This happens three times a week.
Well, we also work together, so it's a little confusing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just ask now. Now I'm like, we are in a relationship now. It's only people I care about that I'm like, we have enough trust going on that I'm just going to ask you and expect you to be honest with me and tell me if I did something.
Yeah.
And you're right. 98% of the time, it's never about
never
you. Me.
It's never about right. you. Yeah.
It's never about you. And then I'm like, oh, okay. And then I can move on from it.
Yeah.
And I accept their word as truth.
I have one more. I want to see if you relate to.
Okay, go.
I lose Kidding. Trust when someone lacks the willingness to listen or to change behavior that's harmful.
I don't know if that for me is trust or just like compatibility rather. Like it's not really, that's not trust for me.
Say more. All. Why does it feel like trust?
It's not about trust. I guess trust is about reciprocity.
Well, should I read like the listening? Do you want me to read the definition to you today? A firm belief in the reliability, truth, or ability of someone or something. A calculated risk we take.
Well, I don't think that somebody not listening well represents that.
For me, someone not really be like truly being able to listen to me or change a harmful behavior for me makes them feel unreliable.
Unreliable, which I guess I was saying earlier, reliability is trust for me, but you are right.
I was just talked you into it. Behavior. You see that?
You did. Anything you say, I'm like, she's right. She's right. It is trust.
That's totally right.
I don't trust him. Oh. Yes, I guess. But I never associate that with trust. I just associate that with like selfishness.
Mm. But do you trust people that are selfish?
Yes.
Oh, really? I don't feel I can.
I trust people that are selfish.
How? How do you trust someone who's only thinking of themselves to do right by you?
Because nobody is selfish 150% of the time. You know, you can be primarily selfish. You can be selfish for reasons that you don't even realize are selfish and still be a trustworthy person.
Okay. So they're not 100% selfish.
They're not like thieves. It's not like I'm trusting like someone I just saw steal $500 out of my drawer or something.
The mammoth meat stealer.
$500 in my drawer. The mammoth meat stealer. But like generally, I feel like I know a lot of people with pretty selfish tendencies that are still trustworthy humans.
Okay. I wouldn't call them totally selfish then. Everyone has selfish tendencies. But if someone is selfish, okay, like fully just focused on themselves, then I don't trust them to have my back.
I don't know anybody in my life who's just fully focused on themselves.
I'll point them out to you when we stop recording. I met a few of them at your bat mitzvah. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. All right. Well, listen, this is all well and good, but I'm telling you right now, it honestly feels like in our society, we talk so much about external trust because we really don't value internal trust. So if we can just please spend the last few minutes of this episode talking about cultivating inner trust, I really think that this is the pathway to figuring out who you can trust and where you can have relationships. You know, your intuition really does have all of the information about other people that you're in relationship with. And it can guide for you like, hey, hold it back a little. Hey, Maury, don't give them all your trust right now. Hold a little bit of it back. But we don't really learn to listen to that inner wisdom.
I do in that regard. I don't always listen to my intuition, but I often do in that regard. I can pretty quickly tell if I'm going to be able to vibe with you. And the only way I can really vibe with you is if I trust you in some way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And quickly I figure that out.
So I think my question for listeners is like, okay, you just spent all this time thinking about who you trust outside of yourself. Now the question is, do you trust yourself? Do you fully trust yourself? Bean, do you really feel like you fully trust yourself?
I do a lot, a lot.
What makes you lack trust in yourself?
Knowledge, not having the knowledge. You know what I mean? Like even stuff you and I are talking about work-wise, I keep being like, you keep being like, you know how to do this. And I keep being like, I don't know how to do this. And you're like, just listen to yourself. And I'm like, I don't hear anything because I don't know anything about this.
Yeah. That's a good reason. Yeah.
And then I'll look to other people, like professionals like yourself.
Do you trust yourself to make good decisions?
Yes.
Always?
I trust that I make the best decision. I trust that I make good decisions given the circumstances in the moment.
Yeah.
Sometimes in hindsight, I'm like, that wasn't such a good decision. But I do believe that in the moment, I'm doing what I believe is the best.
Yeah. So how many of you out there listening right now trust that you make good decisions? I have to tell you.
Wait, what about you?
Well, I think that your like unequivocal yes is such a reflection of your nurturing and conditioning as a child that you were always told that you make good decisions, which is why you have such a clear yes to that answer. I have the opposite. Like there was a lot of questioning of my decision making because I was so different from the two primary caregivers in my home, my older sister, my mom. And then came along my brother-in-law, who I call my brother, who's been around since I was 13, who was very much like my mom and my older sister. And so I had three adults in my life who were very grounded, salt of the earth, like simple needs, aren't reaching for, you know, crazy things all the time, don't want all this stuff that I always wanted to like keep doing and pushing and like, you know, be really ambitious in the way that I was out in the world. There was always this like, why are you doing that? Or why are you choosing that? That really inherently became something I had to heal around. Do I make good decisions? Do I know how to do the right thing for me? Or am I always reaching for too much? Am I too reactive? Am I too what's the word? Why are words failing me today? It's like a silliness. It's like a quality of like not being thoughtful about your decisions. Whatever the word is, that was what was left with me. So I really had a hard time trusting truly that I made good decisions internally. So I just wonder, you know, if you guys think about your conditioning too, how that affects your ideas about whether you trust yourself and whether you make good decisions or not.
Although I'd be curious to ask my sister, because I don't feel like she's as confident as I am that she always makes the best decisions. Maybe she is, but we grew up very similarly.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, yeah. Like my parents always telling her she's great. Like our parents always basically were like, you guys are great, but we still came out very different.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think it's just interesting to think about, but I do think that, you know, we have to start to question our own relationship with trust of ourselves. And I think some of the ways that you can tell that you might be challenged in this area is if you are constantly asking other people their opinion before you do something. Do you ever have any friends like that?
Yeah. But I also think that's because a lot of the people in my life, back to trust, trust me a lot as I trust them.
Yes.
So they trust my opinion. So they come and ask me my opinion because of that.
I mean, a person who you notice asks everyone their opinion more than has an opinion about what they are doing. I just think that's a watch out, call out for you. If you're listening and you recognize yourself in that statement, then there may be an issue with the way that you trust yourself, obviously. So how about we talk about how to rebuild trust in self as a send-off for this episode?
Please. I would love that.
All right. So three things that I think are baby steps that all of us can focus on.
Wait. Number one, read Maury's book in March. Because read the it literally in March. Tells you about how to trust yourself again.
This is the fucking longest lead sales thing I've had. We've been talking about this book for a year. I swear to God, you guys, it's not imaginary. It is real and it is coming out. But you'll hear way more about it in the spring. Anyway, so number one, really important, like we just did, to be curious about why you don't trust yourself. What are the seeds that were planted in you that caused you to believe that you don't make good decisions or you're untrustworthy or your intuitive wisdom is somehow wrong, false, leading you in the wrong direction? All of those beliefs are coming from someone else. They've been implanted in you by someone else. So when we can identify that they aren't organic to us, we're able to separate ourselves from those beliefs and just take a, you know, when you like pull something apart, it gets some breathing room. Like you can look at it from a distance and breathe without that belief system for a minute, which takes me to the second thing, with the second tool, which is like, who would I be if I didn't have this belief? What would I be doing? How would I be operating in the world? If I really believed that I could trust myself, that I could trust my decisions, who would I be? Just it's vision crafting. It's how we start to build a new paradigm rather than exist in the old paradigm that other people have given us. How do you build a new paradigm around who you would be if you believed that you made good decisions, if you believed in your inner wisdom? How would you operate in the world?
I love this concept of vision crafting, and I think we should do a whole ep on it.
Okay.
I'm very done. Into it. It's the second time it's come up in 2 days for us.
I happen to know the producer, so I think maybe we can make that happen, Bean.
Wild times.
And then my third tool always in most of this stuff is evidence. Look for evidence in your life of when you did make a good decision, of when you did just know, of when your inner wisdom was spot on, even when, and especially when everyone was telling you no, don't do it, right? Like if you can start to catalog all the moments when your inner wisdom was right, then you will be able to go back to that catalog and say, oh, you know what? I do have evidence that I do really know the answers and I don't have to always be searching outside of myself.
And all those times that you're like, I knew it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like other people were like, no, but you're like, I knew it. Count those up. Tally mark those up. Wait, 100%. I have a really quick question.
Ask it.
Do you think then people who make, I don't know how to say this, people who make, who have very poor judgment and make unkind decisions a lot and come from a place of, I don't know, bad behavior, do you believe that their intuition is still pure and they have just been loaded down by all of these, you don't think this way, you're always making bad decisions, all of that? Or they, in their core, their intuition is just kind of shitty?
I do 100% believe that every human being has a very clear intuition that is always providing information for how to act in a way that's in your best interest and the best interest of all other people. And so if you are not making decisions that are in your best interest and the best interest of others, that is not your intuition. And so to answer your question, they are making those decisions from trauma, from an area of lack, from a shadow self that is trapped in fear, shame, judgment, guilt, hatred.
Yeah. Like even serial killers, I just thought of an example. I think a lot of them, like statistically, come from physical and sexual abuse.
Of course. Yeah. Absolutely. It's a, you know, we are all.
I don't know where that came from.
No, I mean, we are all at our core. We've talked about this. We are love. And when love gets neglected and tossed around and harmed, then it changes. It more metamorphosizes into something not so light.
I like to think that. I like to come from that place. It's just hard because there are some bad seeds I've met out there.
Yeah. Wow. I love that we're ending on serial killers. Bean, to that great point, what is your...
I say, I trust you.
Melissa's famous takeaway. Take it away.
I think my takeaway is not even focusing, even though maybe we should do an episode where we really focus on trusting ourselves, is more to look around and look at one, why you don't trust yourself, not just like start trusting yourself. And two, why are you putting your trust in these other people? Is it a valid reason? Is there a reason maybe you should pull back on some of the trust that you're offering to these people? Is there a way to pool trust from different sources around you and then go with what really resonates with you the most, which is still somewhere is your intuition resonating with whatever you're pulling.
As always, really clear. Thank you, Bean, for that takeaway, guys. Thank you for listening to this episode. We hope that you took something from it that is going to help you on your path to growth and self-actualization. And as always, we will be back next week with another episode. See you then. Bye.
Yeah, bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted by me, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Gushka. Special thanks to my production team, Anushri Thekadeth, Arman Kassam, and Anais Islami. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode. See you then.